And our special guest tonight, Jim Marrs, as we talk about his latest work, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy. Fascinating discussion. We'll be back with more with Jim in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Jim Marrs, in the not-too-distant future, I'm going to do a complete show on the video craze and how people just have gone bonkers over all these video games. You highlight that in a chapter under Dumbed Down Education. Tell me about this video generation.
Absolutely. Now, here's what's amazing, George. When I was in school, and even through most of my journalism career, if I had to research some subject, anything, the Roman Empire, World War II, it doesn't matter, anything, I had to go to the library.
That's right.
And I had to look up books, okay, and spend all kinds of time. So I got very familiar with the Dewey Decimal System. I bet you can hardly find on the fingers of one hand the number of kids under age 20 who know about the Dewey Decimal
System. No, I bet you can't.
Okay. And yet now today, here's the situation we're in. Even grade schoolers today have access to the computer. They have access to the search engines. Today, as never before in history, young people have more access to information than ever before in our recorded history. And yet, the polls, the statistics, the tests show that they're dumber than ever. They don't take use of that access to knowledge. They're too busy on, you know, Twitter and Fritter and MyFace or Facebook. whatever those networking things are. You know, I know it's MySpace and Facebook and.
You know, oh, you do know those things? Huh?
I do know those things. Of course, I do. But I was trying to get cute. But the point is that they've got all this information to history and to chemistry and to physics. And I mean, they can learn anything, and they're not doing it. They're not doing it. It's absolutely incredible. In my book, The Terror Conspiracy, I quote a study of high school students in Oklahoma where they were given 10 questions that are on the legal immigration test that the State Department gives. And such questions as who is the first president of the United States? What are the three branches of government? You know, stuff that you would think somebody by the time they're in high school would at least know this stuff. And you realize the majority of them couldn't pass. They don't know. They have no idea. They have no clue. And they're spending their time playing video games or going out and hanging out at the places. And today in school, if you don't know who is the top contestant on American Idol, then you're laughed at. If you say no, I was reading a book on the Roman Empire. Hey, you're teased. You're made fun of. It's incredible. When I was a youngster in school, and there was somebody who was really knew something, then and didn't always follow the rules, we kind of looked up to them as a rugged individualist, you know, somebody who marches to a different drummer. And today, they're a social outcast. They're outcast from school. They're viewed as a loner, as someone who has some sort of disorder, and probably needs to be on some kind of psychotropic drug.
And it's everywhere. We've got this text message talking about technology. We use text messaging now.
Right.
Oski in Knoxville, Tennessee wants to know if you think there'll be a violent revolution in 2012.
Number one, folks, we don't really want that, okay? Because history has shown us that with one exception that I can think of, which was the American Revolution, every other revolution has just, you know, gone right down the toilet. Russian Revolution, the French Revolution was followed by waves of violence and a takeover by just thugs and strongmen. All right, you've got the Age of Terror following the French Revolution, and you've got all the pogroms of the in Russia following the revolution there.
Not a good idea.
Hey, when I was in high school, everybody thought, hey, you know what we'll do? Let's drop out of school and we'll go down to Cuba and we'll join with Fidel Castro and fight against the evil dictator, Batista. All right?
That we supported, by the way.
And of course, we were supporting both sides.
Yeah.
CIA was supporting
Castro.
Castro. And then he took over, and then he started taking all his, again, got that dose of megalomania, took all his enemies and stood them up against the wall and shot them. And everybody going, oh, my God, what's happening here, you know? So, no, we do not want a revolution. But I will have to add, it's not like we haven't had one before.
That's true. What do you think of, and you spent some time, about fear-mongering, the Patriot Act, and I think this is one of the most important areas of the work in the trillion-dollar conspiracy. Fear-mongering, the Patriot Act. Look what's been going on in the last 9 years.
And it's all fear. It's all fear. As you well know, since I almost didn't make it, I've been on a trip, and I've been flying, and I was in Philadelphia, I was in Dallas, I was in Nashville, and you know what? At the airport, all three of these big signs, terror alert is at orange. Well, you know, that sounds like next to red. Sounds like, oh, my God. And this is why. Is Nashville in danger? Is Philadelphia in danger? And what should we do? Should we run and hide? Should we go into our karate stance? You know, this is fear-mongering. It's just fear of fear. You know, and just think about where we are today. During the height of World War II, when we really had something to fear about, the Nazis wanted to take over, all right? And they had V-2 rockets, V-1 rockets. The Japanese militarists had sank our Pacific fleet for the most part. And there was genuine fear that they were going to land on the coast of California. I mean, we really had something to fear. And what did Franklin Roosevelt tell us? We have nothing to fear.
But fear itself.
Fear itself. And we're all Americans, black, white, red, yellow, Jewish, you know, Catholic, Protestant. It doesn't matter. We're all Americans, and we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Let's just, you know, roll up our sleeves. Let's get to work and get it done. And look at us today. After 9/11, President Bush says, be afraid. Be very afraid, but keep shopping. Keep consuming. And this whole thing is just, it's incredible. And I won't even go to 9/11. All right. But the national polls show that almost a half the population of this country now questions 9/11. And, I would like to point out that, there is a reason for this suspicion. John Farmer was the senior counsel to the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks upon the United States, better known as the 9/11 Commission. Mm-hmm. And listen to what he's written. And this is public, because he wrote a book in 2009 called The Ground Truth. In the course of our investigation into the national response to the attacks, the 9/11 Commission staff discovered that the official version of what has occurred was almost entirely and inexplicably untrue.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Quote, the public, at some level of the government, at some point in time, there was an agreement not to tell the truth about what happened. So I've got to ask you and your audience, why is it unpatriotic then to try to question what truly happened to 3,000 American lives, wrecked our Constitution, started two wars halfway around the globe, when the senior counsel to the government's own official commission says the version they gave us is untrue?
And of course, as you know, good old Benjamin Franklin, what'd he say? Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And that's what's happening to us, Jim.
Exactly. And here I am, I've been flying. I about a year ago, I made a trip to Egypt. So I'm coming through the Cairo airport, one of the most heavily guarded airports in the world. There's guys with AK-47s strolling around everywhere, okay? And I had shown my passport, da-da-da. Making a leg through, I stopped at Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris, France, another one of the most security-conscious airports in the world. And you know what, folks? I didn't have to take off my shoes at either place. This is insane. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants it. And yet we're all just, okay, have to protect from terrorists, whoever they are, wherever they are.
I saw them patting down a few months ago a little old lady. You know,
George, I'll tell you one worse than that. I was at an airport and saw this young mother with this two cute little twin girls about 2 years old, and they were in their pretty little dresses, matching dresses, and their matching little tissues, and they had their little pretty little pink backpacks on, and they were making them take those backpacks off and search all through them. This is ridiculous. And why? Because of, hey, we got the underwear bomber, okay? And folks, I'm here to tell you it's all a fraud. How can I say that? Because the underwear bomber supposedly was trying to light his underwear, and that's pretty ludicrous on the face of it, and supposedly he had military explosive, PETN, in his underwear.
And who's...
Well, I checked with... Go ahead.
Who's the person who escorted him to the front of the gate?
Exactly.
Remember that?
Who exactly. And how come he doesn't get stopped? And by the way, you'll find this in my book, The Terror Conspiracy. A few months later, before Congress, the representatives of the State Department said that they were not going to issue him a visa. He would never have been able to get on that plane. But members of our intelligence services said, no, don't do that. Let him on.
Let him on. Clear him.
This is what's known as a false flag operation. And what I was going to tell you is I checked with my sources in the military, and they said you can't light PETN. You have to have a blasting cap before you can set that stuff off, and he didn't have a
blasting cap. Yeah, it's not like a dynamite fuse.
Exactly. So, see, and the people up, these globalists, these people who are controlling the shadow government that they've actually acknowledged now, they know this. They know there was no real danger to that plane, but they use it to fearmonger, to get us fearful. Now, I'm surprised now that they're not stripping us down to their underwear. But what they are doing is now they're planting all those full body scanners in hundreds of airports.
Yep.
And who was leading the charge on that? Former head of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff.
And all over
TV.
And don't tell me, is he part of a company that makes them or what?
No, but he has a marketing company whose biggest client is RapidScan, the manufacturers of the full body.
Go figure. I was close.
Come on, folks. You were close.
You win the doll.
You do. You get the cheapy part.
Unbelievable. Jim, is they've taken some issues that are real. You know, there are people out there that want to create terror. There's no doubt about that. But the problem is now it's too confusing because I am so convinced that if all terrorism went away, if this world became one of those worlds where everybody was peaceful, I'm convinced that the elitists would create a problem in order to keep us on edge. Because
Absolutely. They
would figure,
Absolutely.
You know, things are going too well. We can't control these people. They're too happy. We need to create these episodes.
Exactly. It's the same thing they did in Germany. In fact, this is what Lenin said. He said the surest way to defeat a country is to debauch its currency. And I ask you, isn't that what's happening to our country right now?
Sure is.
Okay. It's
a playbook.
Really, yeah. It's absolutely correct. It's just incredible, and yet nobody seems to have the gumption enough or the stamina enough to get up and say, hey, wait a minute. We don't need to be doing all this. You know, it's amazing. But I will say this, and I do bring this out and point out all these various movements, which I hope will coalesce into a true movement. There is something that every single person listening to me can do, and you can do it this year. You can do it in November, okay? And that is, when you go down to vote, all you got to do is check to find out who your representative or your senator is that's already in office. And when you go vote, vote them all out. Vote every single one of them out.
The good or the bad, just vote them all.
Good and the bad, good, bad, and the ugly, in between. Yeah, and you know what? The good ones, and Dr. Ron Paul has already said this. He said, I wouldn't mind laying out a term if that's what it takes to shake it all up. And people said, yeah, well, you just get another bad crop in there. Well, that may be true, but I'll tell you what, if we would vote out everyone in Congress who is currently there, and let's face it, folks, some of them have been there for 20 years or more. These are the people who are responsible for the condition that we're in right now. And if you would vote them out, we may not get anybody better, and they might even get back in, but by golly, they'll start paying attention to the public. And maybe, just maybe, they'll do something to our benefit instead of the rich party.
It's coming fast, though, Jim.
Very fast. They're hitting us from all sides. Bad air, bad water.
I was talking to Alex Jones about this a few weeks ago. Why do they seem to have kicked up the agenda so fast? Is it because they know, we know, Zbigniew Brzezinski at a CFR meeting said they, meaning us, are becoming more aware of what we're trying to do?
Exactly. And he was bemoaning the fact. How do they know? Well, they know primarily, I think, because of the internet. But they also know because of you, Alex Jones, Jeff Rentz, people who are actually speaking the truth. And all of you guys have huge audiences, much more than a book's going to do. I mean, I'm just an old reporter from Texas, and I go find out what's really going on, and I source it. My books are the backup, okay? You guys on the front line, because more people listen to you than reading books. But for the people who listen to you and go, is that true? Can that be true? How do we know that? Then come read my books, okay? Read The $1 trillion Conspiracy. Read The Rise of the Fourth Reich. Read The Rule of the Secrecy. And you'll find it all in there in print. You can go back and look at it again. You turn the page back and look at it again, and you go find the sources. And then it's not like they have to believe George Norrie or believe Jim Mars. Then they'll know. They'll know for themselves what's true and what's not. And, George, I think you'll agree with me on this. Most people respond to the truth. If they hear the truth somewhere deep inside, they know it's the truth.
Yep, and they can handle it.
They can handle it. We're not kids. We're not babes in the woods. We may be a little naive. We may be a lot ignorant, but we're not stupid, okay?
10 or 15 years ago, if I had heard all this conspiracy stuff, I would have said, you're all nuts. Oh,
well,
how about you?
15 years ago, I was saying the same thing, and you're right. They said, Marty, you're nuts.
Other than the Kennedy assassination, which I always believed was a conspiracy, always, since I was a 13-year-old kid, I just couldn't believe that one guy did it.
Right.
And then on and on and on. Well, I don't know, Jim. Are we gonna win or not?
Well, here's the good news. There's more of us than there are of them. All we gotta do is get people waked up, de-zombified. Okay, we gotta get them out of their zombie state, and we gotta get them listening. And here's the other thing. See, everybody is caught in the electronic matrix woven about them by the mainstream mass media, TV, radio. And so when they hear something that's out of tune with the corporate message they're getting through the mainstream media, then their first inclination is to go, well, that must be a conspiracy theory. You know, that could be right. If that was right, it'd be on CNN. But no, no, it wouldn't. As I mentioned earlier, 2 million Americans marched on Washington in 2009, and except for a couple of stories in the New York Times and Washington Post where they only said, well, tens of thousands, you know, nobody even heard that that was happening. This is control over the media. And while I'm at it, I'm just going to be honest with you, George. $1 trillion conspiracy with all the vital and incredible information in there, I was censored.
What do you mean censored?
I was told if I didn't take certain sections out of that book, they would not publish the book.
Wow.
Wow is right. And grab this. Here's the irony. The biggest section that they forced me to take out was the section on how the corporate media controls the news. Is that ironic?
Yeah. Well, for some reason,
I told one of the publishers, I said, well, you've kind of proved my point, haven't you?
right there. We're going to take a break in a second here, Jim. I want to come back with phone calls and then some final calls next hour. I know you've been flying all night, so we'll try to wrap this up for you as soon as we can, okay?
All right.
Jim Mars, our special guest. His website, jimmars.com. It's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be right back with his work, The $1 trillion Conspiracy. Let's open up the phone lines now when we come right back. Well, the new upgraded Coast to Coast website, almost ready to get unveiled, including Instapoll, giving us instant access to you and polling you a question or two. So that's coming up right around the corner. When we come right back, let's take phone calls for the next hour and a half with Jim Mars, author of The $1 trillion Conspiracy on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we'll take some phone calls for the next hour and a half with Jim Marrs, the Trillion Dollar Conspiracy. This Trillion Dollar Conspiracy, Jim, has been underway for how long, in your opinion?
Well, in the United States, well, it really goes all the way back. Again, at the first of the show, I mentioned that it was the Bank of England that destroyed the prosperity of the colonies by taking away their colonial scrip and forcing them to use interest-bearing Bank of England notes. So it certainly goes back that far. If you read Rule of Secrecy, it might got back much further, but that was the founding of the United States and the American Revolution. So I think that's far enough to go back. Then you should come forward and read about Andrew Jackson and how that he finally called the bankers a den of vipers and shut down the third attempt at a central bank in the United States, and they didn't get another shot at it until 1913. And during the war between the states, when the North was fighting the South, Otto von Bismarck was quoted as saying that this was all a plot by the European bankers and the international bankers to break up the American Union so that the British Army could move in from Canada and the French Army under Maximilian could move in from Mexico, and they could regain North America, as their little private preserve. But that didn't work, thanks primarily to Abraham Lincoln, who I suppose understood what was going on, since he tried to introduce interest-free money in the form of greenbacks. So again, they were put off until 1910, when they held a secret meeting. They brought over the head of German banking, Paul Warburg, and then put him as the first chairman of the Federal Reserve System. And that led to the extraordinary situation that during World War One, Paul Warburg, who had helped craft the Federal Reserve System, was in charge of the war bonds and of the financing of World War One on behalf of the United States, while in Germany, his brother, Max Warburg, was head of the German Deutsche Bank and was in charge of running the war effort economically on the German side. So you got these two brothers on each side of World War One. Folks, wake up and smell the conspiracy.
Let's go to some of the phones. Jim, you ready? First time caller, Kevin in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Kevin. Go ahead.
Hi, Jim. I have a question about the UFO phenomenon. With technology now, with how we're getting our technology with cameras and video cameras, and how we're getting more destructive with technology, is that going to bring out the UFO phenomenon quicker? And also, I mean, we have so much evidence. You know, we talked about the Anunnaki and stuff. When it does all happen, is this going to be a good scenario for us, or is this not going to be, you know, how's this all going to turn out? And with your own opinion, I mean, is this coming soon? Am I going to see it, or is it?
Yeah, I think you're going to see it. I think it's going to happen fairly soon. But I don't want anybody to get the idea that our, quote, space brothers are going to come down and save our bacon and, help us out of this mess that we've created for ourselves, or at least allowed to be created. But yes, in fact, of course, it continues to be a news blackout concerning UFOs in the corporate mass media. Occasionally, there's a little something here, a little something there. But it could all come to a head immediately if, say, CNN or Fox News or even the New York Times or some super credible mainstream media, if they would simply, on the front page or at the start of their news hour, have one little section that says, "This week in UFO news," and start talking about all of the instances, all the sightings, all the experiences that are taking place. Just list them, okay? Here's what happened this week. Well, it wouldn't take more than a few weeks before everyone would go, "Holy cow, what's happening? What's happening?" So, yeah, because it's increasing all over the planet. South America is just abuzz with UFOs. The Europeans have come forward. The French Comita report, that was a government, essentially government sources who said, yeah, they're real, they're here. It's it's just bursting out all over, but most people are still in deep denial because they don't see it on Fox or CNN. You know, they hear about it on George Norrie, and obviously you're well aware of it. But yeah, I think before long, this is especially if we keep messing up this planet, because whatever the alien agenda might be. How's that for a clever plug?
I like that.
My book, whatever that alien agenda might be, I don't think it entails either coming in and destroying us overnight or coming in and saving us overnight. I think that they are simply going to be there, and when enough people finally realize that this is real and they're really there, and if we are smart enough to ask for their help, then we might just get it.
You take a point to mention several things in the book about a chip and what's going to happen with electronic surveillance, Jim. This has been going on, and it's very important to their whole program, isn't it?
Exactly. I was very disturbed not long back. I went to a restaurant and ordered a beer, and they said, well, let me see your driver's license. I said, do I look like I'm under 21? And they said, no, I know you're not. I know you're old enough, but we have to take your driver's license. I said, you know, and of course, I happen to know that my Texas driver's license, like most of them, has that magnetic strip on the backside of it, just like your credit card. And I watched them, and they went up there and slid it through the cash register, which means somewhere, somebody knows exactly where I am and exactly what I'm spending my money on. That is that there is no more privacy.
No, none.
And that, of course, you must have that lack of privacy. You must have that totalitarian control over everyone's movements, buying habits, and everything else to control and tyrannize a population. You can't just have them running around being free people.
Let's go to Andrew in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hey, Andrew, good morning.
Hello, George. Hello, I was just wondering what Jim thought about causes of autism.
Okay, that's a really good one. This is terrible. I think I go into that in the $1 trillion conspiracy, but they have pretty much linked autism, or at least some scientists and some doctors have made a definite correlation between autism and all of these myriad vaccinations that they're forcing on young people. Yeah. And I say young people, even infants, you know. The whole idea of vaccinations started off to be a pretty good idea. You know, we would get vaccinated against typhus and smallpox and a few things like that, which all seemed to be good. But now, you know, there are children being born, and they're undergoing 10 and 12 vaccinations. And it's not so much the pathogen that's being addressed in the vaccines, it's the squalene and the virus immunization 40 and all of these things that they're putting in the vaccines, which are not good for us. And there is a growing body of evidence that there has been too many children who seem to be perfectly normal, and then they get the vaccines, and then they go and have a violent reaction about it, and the first thing you know, they're diagnosed as autistic.
You know, I had Dr. Andrew Wakefield on a few weeks ago, and he's the one who blew the whistle on this.
Right.
And he has lost his license to practice in Britain over this.
Of course. You cannot go against the Rockefeller medical monopoly and the giant pharmaceutical corporations, all of which owe their parentage to the Nazi IG Farben chemical complex.
Do you ever get anybody at speech conferences and speeches that you go to that simply say, oh, come on, Jim, I don't believe this stuff?
Well, you know, it's funny, George. I mean, I've only been at this for, 40 years now. Actually, I know the PR thing say 30, but some of that was written 10 years ago.
Actually, they just haven't updated it yet.
And hadn't updated my CV. But yes, I used to get that. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. The main thing, I suppose, would be back in the 90s when I published Alien Agenda, which has now become the top-selling nonfiction book on UFOs in the world. It's been translated into more than a dozen languages. And at that point, people go, oh, man, I don't believe that. You're nuts. You know, what are you talking about? But you know what, George? In recent years, I would say since about 2005, 6, and on up, I really don't get that much anymore because I think people are waking up, and I think they're beginning to realize that there is some strange and unnerving things going on, and I think now they're ready to listen. I even have people who are now seriously listening to me when I try to warn them about the chemtrails, and these are the same people who 10 years ago said, well, oh, you're not, you know, you're nuts. What are you talking about? And I would only add, George, that people need to understand I don't believe that is not a valid argument.
I don't blame you. Let's go to Santa Fe, New Mexico, west of the Rockies. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hello. Thank you very much for taking my call, George.
Sure thing.
Jim, I want to tell you your books are wonderful, and I tell my friends, I urge all my friends to read them, and they love it.
Well, thank you so much.
But I'm calling for two major questions about the Supreme Court. I'm very puzzled. Why would the corporate fascist-loving conservatives on the Supreme Court want to protect gun rights when the gun rights are against the elite? I mean, if everybody who's the common people have guns to protect themselves from a takeover of martial law, why would these conservatives on the Supreme Court, of all people, support gun ownership?
Okay.
Good question.
That only is a very good point. And I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure I can give you an ironclad 100% guarantee that this is the answer. But what I see is that recent decision was 6-5. Okay.
5-4. 5-4.
5-4. I'm sorry. 5-4. They only made it by one vote. Okay. And the people who voted for it were the conservatives or the Supreme Court members who tend to be conservative. And they were put into office, many of them back during the Reagan years and through the George Herbert Walker Bush administration. And they wanted those conservatives on the court so that they could push their pro-corporate agenda. But they also had to take the ones who were also conservative and stuck to the Constitution, and that's what they've ruled on, saying the Constitution says when the right of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed. They get it, okay? But we're already losing some Supreme Court people, and guess who gets to put them in there? Barack Hussein Obama. So, you know, it won't be long before they'll have their way, and it'll be 5-4. No, you can't own a gun. And I know I'm going to get a lot of hate mail from people who have the best intentions in the world. I totally understand the idea about let's have a peaceful world and let's not all just go around armed. And you know what? I'll even say this in front of everybody. If everybody in the world would toss away their gun, I would toss away mine. But I got to tell you, as a Texan, as long as there's somebody out there with a gun, I'm going to have a gun. Otherwise, you're going to be ruled by whoever has the gun.
Well, and you know the bad guys have the guns.
And that bad guy's got the guns, and no law is going to keep them from getting one.
Good point.
And all you have to do is go and check the statistics on the counties and cities and states where they have allowed people to carry guns. They don't have the crime rate that the other country. In fact, it's really kind of amazing where they have tried to implement. In fact, the ruling on this one was Chicago, Washington, D.C. These have been the test cases for gun control, and both of those places have the highest murder rate of any place else in the country. It's really kind of ironic. So the more they try to disarm people in those areas, the more free hand the criminals have.
Okay, back to San Antonio now we go, close to your neck of the woods. Joe, welcome to Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear, yeah. Joe.
Your screener told me I sounded like I was eating my phone. Jim, you're from Texas. I'm from San Antonio, so I like hearing you because you sound like me.
Yep. We kind of come from the same area.
Yeah. And I tell people I don't talk funny. I talk like I'm from here. But anyway, I want to tell you.
Hey, in Texas, we don't talk funny, do we?
No, we talk normal. anyways, I want to tell you something. I'm going to quote a great American. His name is Bugs Bunny. You are a loon.
A loon. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And how do you support
You know what? You have your base, and you have seized on that base because you know they're going to follow you, and all of this corruption and world order, and you got to say the president's middle name and all that. You know, people eat it up.
Well,
and, you know, hold on, I'm not done talking yet.
Hey, Joe, be polite, or you get knocked off. Bottom line. There you go, Jim.
Well, I'd just like to know about this base. I'd like to know about this because I'd like to know where they are and who they are, because all I do is meet a lot of people. And I've got friends that are liberals. I got friends that are conservatives, friends that are Democrats, friends that are Republicans, friends that are near anarchists, friends who are strict constitutionalists. I mean, I meet a lot of wide, varied people. I'd like to know who this base is.
Why can't people get their point across without screaming?
I don't know.
I just have
Did
never...
Joe go?
Joe's gone because I pushed my button.
Oh, yeah.
He wouldn't stop listening. You know what? I'm going to have somebody talk over you all night.
Well, you know, I try to listen to him, but you know, when he starts talking about stuff that I don't even understand what he's talking about, my base, I'm making money off my base. I don't get it. I don't know. And I'm a loon.
How could you be making money? You've got the same sports coat that you had 20 years ago.
You know, you think you're making a funny, but I really do.
I know you do.
I know.
We're at every convention I meet. No, I'm kidding.
You know, this is one of the oldest arguments in the world that I'm only writing what I write, and I'm only saying what I say because I'm trying to make money.
Look, though, here's the bottom line. You aren't making these things up. You're reporting on things that you find and discover through work and research.
Exactly. And I would add this, CNN, Fox, The New York Times, for gosh sakes, why are they in business? To make money. They are businesses, all right? Money makes the world go round. Everybody has to pay their taxes. Everybody has to pay their electric bill.
Believe me, Jim.
Everybody has to make a money. But I tell you what, when it comes to money with a capital M, I don't know what that's all about because I've never had it.
Not at all. And believe me, if they weren't making money, they wouldn't be having the shows on that they do.
That's right.
They'd be all gone.
Well, I still want to know who this base is because, you know, if I had this huge base out there, I'd say, hey, send me a dollar, and then I have some money, right?
Well, he could have been a good call if he wasn't screaming. and, you know, I don't appreciate him calling you a loon.
Well, I can take it. I've been called worse. I've gotten a pretty hard shell. But, again, though, it basically what I hear from him is, I don't believe you. Okay.
That's fine.
He's welcome to that belief, but that is just a belief. And I don't believe you is not a valid argument. You know, if I've said something that's wrong, tell me where I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm man enough to say, hey, gee, I was wrong about that. In fact, you corrected me just a minute ago. I've been traveling. I've barely been keeping up with stuff. And I seem to remember it was 6-4, and you corrected me and said it was
5-4.
Corrected me, said, no, it's 5-4. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. I was correct. That's okay.
Very, very rarely wrong, Jim.
Did you hear me screaming at you?
Stay with us. We got another final hour to go of phone calls with you. Jim Mars, our guest on Coast to Coast AM.